Hey, it's the last night in a series that we've been doing called Passionate. It's out of the greatest commandment, Jesus said. The greatest commandment is that we should love the Lord our God with all our hearts, all our soul, all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. And so I wanted tonight, and you guys can stay with me just because I want to just spend a little bit of time. I'm going to do a quick little Bible study. Okay, just, and I'll explain why in a moment, because it's very hard to be passionate for God without the one I'm going to talk about tonight. His name is the Holy Spirit. He's the one who keeps the fire of God going in our lives. He's the one who keeps passion in our lives. It's not just, you don't stay passionate for God by just gritting your teeth and hoping. Oh, I'm going to be passionate. We need oil in our lives, like a car needs an oil to keep the engine from getting from overheating, to stopping the friction. So I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. He's awesome. He's the third part of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's with Jesus and the Father, they're one, yet they're three, they're unique. They each have a unique role. I love the analogy that water can be ice, steam, or liquid, but it's all the same. Just different forms. And so the Holy Spirit, I'm not sure if he's steam, liquid, or water, but that doesn't, or ice, that doesn't matter. But it helps us understand. The Holy Spirit is a person. When Jesus was on earth, he said, I'm going to go, and it's to your advantage that I go, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And there's really three kind of phases that I want us, I think it's really cool for us to understand this, what I'm going to share with you. We're going to pray for people tonight. Some people are going to get baptized with the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to explain what that means. Some people are going to get the gifts that Teresa was talking about that come with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so this is what Jesus said when he was preaching in John chapter 7, 38 and 39. Like I said, quick little Bible study. You can take notes and look at these later. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly is the right translation there. Out of his belly, his innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus, being one with the Holy Spirit, from conception had the Holy Spirit. And then he said, guys, there's going to come a moment when you're going to receive the Holy Spirit on the inside, and then you'll have a continual flow of the life of God from within. It'll bubble up within you. Now, you can't have him yet because I haven't been glorified, because he's holy. Essentially what Jesus is saying, because the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, he can't live anywhere that's not holy. And because Jesus had not yet been crucified, therefore we weren't yet forgiven and cleansed, therefore, we couldn't receive the Holy Spirit because we weren't holy enough for the Holy Spirit to come. Does that make sense? So he said, when I'm glorified, when I'm crucified, raised from the dead and glorified, then you can receive the Holy Spirit. So immediately after he was crucified and rose from the dead, Jesus came and appeared to the disciples and they didn't believe him. But John 20, verse 20 says this, when he'd said this, he showed them his hands and his side, so he's been raised from the dead. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father sent me, I send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. This is the moment of their salvation. This is the moment all of those disciples who'd believed in Jesus, they couldn't get saved until Jesus rose, died on the cross for our sin, like we just celebrated, and Jesus rose from the dead. Now that's happened. They've seen him. They believe, and they receive the Holy Spirit. That's the moment of their salvation. And the moment of your salvation and my salvation is when we receive the Holy Spirit. What we say is, I put my faith in Jesus, that he paid for the price for my sin when his blood was shed. And I put my faith in him, that makes me right with God, and something miraculous, the greatest miracle happens in that moment. The Holy Spirit comes because of our faith in Jesus. We're made righteous, and this is what the Bible says, he comes now, so he does the work of making us a born-again, brand-new spirit. and he comes and lives in our heart. 2 Corinthians 1:21 to 22 says this: "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." So the moment, I really want you to get this because it's so cool. The moment you get born again, the Holy Spirit now resides where? In your heart. He lives in your heart. He doesn't come and go. Your heart is a permanent address for the Holy Spirit unless you tell him to go away, you don't want him anymore. He lives in your heart. So we don't need to wake up every day and go, "Oh God, come back, where are you?" Because he lives in your heart. He's not leaving. It's his permanent address now. The Bible says that God's given the Holy Spirit to everyone who believes in Christ as a deposit of a future eternity. Ever paid a deposit for something? It's like that secures it. So God's deposit, because he loves you and me so much, is the Holy Spirit. And he lives in our heart. So in the morning when you get up, you don't need to go, "Oh, Holy Spirit, where are you? Come, come." You just get up and go, "Morning, Holy Spirit. You live in me. I love you. You're amazing." Bible calls him our helper. So Jesus said, "I'm going to leave because I can only be in one place at one time because I'm in a physical body." So that's how I'm showing God to you. But it's actually, he said, it's to your advantage that I go, so that each one of you can now be the new temple of the Holy Spirit. And he lives in your heart. Now what we want to understand in this moment is the Holy Spirit is different to your spirit. Your spirit is recreated brand new now as one with Christ. That's what being born again is. You're a new creation. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. When you get saved, then you get baptized. What's happening is you're saying, when Christ was crucified, my spirit was crucified. When I got baptized, I got buried with him. I got raised with him. And now spiritually, I'm seated in heavenly places. That's a whole other message. Not going there. So let's just stay with this. Romans 8 verse 16 says, "The Spirit," capital S, the Holy Spirit, "testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." So my spirit, that's me. The Holy Spirit, that's him. We talk. The Holy Spirit and me, we talk. You are your spirit. That's who you are. When you're born again, you're one with Christ. You're now holy, righteous. It's amazing. Now here's the really cool thing. Once you get the Holy Spirit, his design is to help us to have a relationship with Jesus and with the Father. He's here to help us to have a relationship. He's here to bring the Word of God alive to us. He's here to whisper God's thoughts to us. Here's the cool thing. When you get the Holy Spirit and he lives in you and you build and cultivate that relationship, what happens in your life is you get the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Bible tells us that in Galatians 5:22, that there's 9 specific fruit. There might be more, but it lists 9 fruit. When you get the Holy Spirit and you cultivate a relationship with him, now get it, cultivate, then fruit begins to come out of your life. It's a byproduct of a relationship with God and the Spirit of God in your heart. Here's some of the fruit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, I prefer, which is really, some of us know that could only be the Holy Spirit. What else have we got? Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, kindness. The mark that I'm a Christian and that I'm developing a relationship with God is the fruit of my life. I become more loving. I become more joyful. I become more peaceful. I become more patient and keep becoming more patient. I become more kind, more gentle. This is a lifetime journey. But the way that transformation happens is not because I write a big, "I'm going to be loving today." It's actually because I just go, "I'm keeping developing my relationship with God. And he's pouring into me." And day by day, the fruit of a relationship with the Holy Spirit develops. All right, so that's your salvation. The Holy Spirit lives in you from your salvation. And the fruit is in you from your salvation. So just say this after me. The Holy Spirit is in me for me. He's transforming me. That's what he does. Journey of a lifetime. If you don't have a relationship with God yet, here's the great news. You're like, oh, I couldn't be a good person like all those people, or neither could I without the Holy Spirit. Those things aren't natural. They're a work of the Spirit of God in my life. God transforms us. So all you got, like, just build the relationship. The Holy Spirit transforms us and produces fruit in us. He's the one who does the transforming. It kind of takes the pressure off. You don't have to meet a certain standard. Jesus did that. Now the Spirit from the inside transforms me, produces fruit in my life. That's why you'll meet lots of good Christians who might not believe in things like healing and the supernatural and prophecy and the miraculous, but they've got great character because they're saved and the Spirit of God dwells in their heart. You with me? All right, a little Bible study, because this is really important. But then we go on. If he's in me for me, there's a separate experience where he comes upon me for others. This is why Jesus said, after he breathed on the disciples and the Spirit of God lived in their heart, so he breathed on them, they received the Holy Spirit. But then he said, this is what he said, you'll receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. Luke 24, verse 49, behold, I'll send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry, good old-fashioned word, means wait, in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued or clothed with power. Now, they've already got the Holy Spirit because he breathed on them. But he said, I want you to wait because there's more. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, wait, there's more. There's more. You'll receive power when he comes upon you so that you'll be my witnesses. So here we go. The Holy Spirit's in me from salvation for my relationship with God to transform me from the inside out. But he wants to come upon me and clothe me with power so that I can be an effective witness. And so when he comes upon me, let's just move through this. Okay, let me just read one story in Acts. Chapter 8, verse 14 to 17, the gospel is spreading everywhere. People are getting saved. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the Samaritans had accepted God's message of life, so Philip the evangelist had gone to Samaria, people are starting to get saved, they sent Peter and John to pray over them so that they would receive the Holy Spirit. Well, they've already got saved. Well, they did already, so that they got the Holy Spirit when they got saved. We're talking about something extra. Oh, I love this. For they'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, but they were yet to have the Holy Spirit fall upon them. Different to receive the Spirit when they got born again, but to fall upon them. As soon as Peter and John arrived, they laid their hands on the Samaritan believers one after another. The Holy Spirit fell and filled each one of them. And he goes on and says they spoke in tongues. So speaking in tongues, so this is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's a different thing. It's all the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so this is a moment where I just like to imagine it like this, because the filling is a good picture. So I'm spiritually alive, connected with God. The Holy Spirit lives in me. But now, not from the bubbling up on the inside because the Spirit's in me, but from something externally, I get filled. And then as I get filled, it overflows, and then I start to get clothed with the power of God. The power of God comes on you. And this is God's intention for every believer, to be living a life filled with the Holy Spirit, with an overflow of the power of God. And this is what the Bible calls being clothed with an anointing. And with that, so we get nine gifts, we get nine fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, because the Spirit lives in us, but when he comes upon us, he comes with nine gifts. The Bible talks about all these really cool gifts and puts them in, there might be more, but it categorizes nine in 1 Corinthians 12. You can kind of break them up into three different types. So there's like speaking gifts of the Holy Spirit, prophecy, speaking in tongues, which is, I'll talk about in a moment, and interpretation of tongues. That's the speaking. And there's knowledge, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment of gifts, discernment of spirits. And then there's the power gifts, healings, faith, and the working of miracles. Nine gifts. You get the Holy Spirit through your salvation, you get the fruit of the Spirit working out in your life. You get the Holy Spirit when you get baptized and filled, you get access, and some you just kind of get a few different gifts. And over a period of time, Paul says you can desire earnestly all the gifts, especially get the prophecy one, because that helps other people. The speaking in tongues one helps you. It builds you up. But the prophecy one helps other people. So you can ask the Holy Spirit, who's got all the gifts, now you're filled with Him, I'd like more of these gifts to flow in my life. Talks about the tongues and the interpretation of tongues. When you get born again, I'm just doing a real, are we okay with a quick Bible study? And then we're going to pray for some people. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, the usual evidence is a personal language of speaking in tongues. And everyone's is different. The Bible says that no one understands what they're saying, but God understands. You're speaking mysteries. You're not speaking to man, but to God. That you build your spirit up, not the Holy Spirit, but your spirit. When you speak in tongues, your spirit, man, gets stronger. That's why speaking in tongues is a great habit every day, to make yourself strong spiritually. And so this gift of tongues is a personal gift that's accessible to everyone who gets the Holy Spirit, gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not just for some, it's for everyone. But then there's some people, there's actually three types of tongues. Sam, did you know this? There's three types of tongues. There's your personal language of tongues. There's the tongue of angels, which means messenger. So that's when it talks about someone who will bring a message in another language that they don't understand. It's not their normal personal tongue. And then there's an interpretation of that tongue. Those gifts go hand in hand. And then there's the tongues of men, which is a language that you don't understand. That's what happened in Acts. They got up and they declared the glory of God under the unction of the Holy Spirit in languages that they didn't even know. Which is really cool. Wouldn't it be good to go to Italy and go, Shahamukiahare. Oh, cappuccino. Thank you. That's awesome. Yeah. I don't think that's how it works. So that would be for me, not for others. So all of us can get a personal tongue. Because, I mean, if a personal tongue is what edifies you, I can't imagine God going, you get edification, you get edification. Sorry, Dan, you missed that one. You get edification. That's not how God's going to go. That makes no sense to me, right? Everybody who gets the Holy Spirit gets a personal gift with tongues. Now, it might not come at exactly the same moment, but it's actually really easy to get the gift of tongues. If you get just focus on getting filled, then it'll overflow. You've got to kind of switch your mind off because it gets in the road. And just God will give you an utterance, a word. And it's not like you're disengaged and God takes over your body. It's just you just go, la, da, dum, ba. Your desire is for Jesus, but He gives you a language. And some people just start with a couple of words. And then the more confident you are, it's like the breath of God. Shahambrek, you start to do it. You start to speak out loud. And it becomes fluent. And you, like a little kid, you can start just saying a few words, but eventually you become fluent in the Holy Ghost. Your brain is disconnected and your spirit's overflowing and you're getting strong. And speaking tongues, it's the entry point to all the other gifts. So if you want to prophesy, that speaking in tongues is what gets the access going of prophecy. If you want to move in the gift of healings, okay, so we did this cool thing this week. We had a small group, and it was about four people all gave a message in tongues, not their normal tongue. And then we said, okay, let's get an interpretation. And so first one, David Morris was with us. He gives this message in tongues, not his normal tongue. And then I go, okay, who felt like when they said that, you got a picture or a phrase or a word? And a few people did, and straight away two people said exactly the same word. That's the interpretation of tongues. The sense of the Spirit of God that came in the room when this started happening was next level. Later this year, in October, we're doing a campaign for all our groups on activating the gifts of, and we're going to talk about all of these, because we're going to be bringing messengers in tongues and interpreting those tongues in our small groups. Does that sound cool? All right, so this is kind of, that's what we've got. So just say this after me. He's in me for me. He's on me for others. He comes upon you. Okay, so He comes upon you for others. And those gifts are for others. So that we're bold and on fire. And so the way to keep passionate for God is to keep asking God to fill us for the sake of others. Keep filling me, not so I feel good all the time, but keep filling me for the sake of others. Keep filling me. So last scripture is in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Let's put that up there. It says, don't be drunk with wine. There's a word for somebody. Don't turn to your neighbor right now and say that's a word for you, because that will ruin your life. Okay, it'll ruin your life. You end up with hangovers, you end up doing dumb things, you end up doing stuff that you regret. But instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Greek, this phrase literally means keep constantly being filled. I can't say I'm fit right now because in 1993 I was fit. Right? If I'm going to be fit right now, it's because I'm doing things that keep me fit right now. So if God said to you, be fit, he's not going, oh, good job, you ticked that box way back then, you were fit, awesome. If that was what he was saying, he would say, keep being fit. Keep doing the things that keep you fit. What the Lord's saying, if we whack that back up there again, thanks guys, Ephesians 5:18. So instead, keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, this is how, one of the ways, singing psalms, scripture verses, things out directly from the Word of God, hymns, man-made songs, and spiritual songs. That's your heavenly prayer language in song form. Sing the Word of God, sing the choruses that are designed, and sing in your heavenly language. And making music to the Lord in your hearts. You go, how do I get filled? If we just did a little God x-ray right now, we could get a fuel tank reading on how filled everybody in the room is with God. Now, obviously, we can't, because unless you're a super prophetic dude or someone, but it's a real thing. It tells me that if we need to keep getting filled, we can get empty. And so being passionate is an expression of being filled. And being filled comes when we want, and one of the ways is when we sing. Not because you've got a great voice, I'm sure some of you do, but because we engage our hearts in a focus on Jesus. We're singing to Him, and we're worshiping Him, and we're singing in the Spirit. And it's just, you know, I don't know if you've ever felt like it takes ages to fill up the petrol tank. It's like, why is this taking so long? But it's happening. I don't know, I'm just an impatient person. I obviously need more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life. But while you're singing, you're like, is anything happening? Yeah, if you're focused on Jesus, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, you're being filled. And then at the end of it, you'll go, why do I feel so good? Because you're being filled while you sang. That's why your flesh resists you singing and praising and honoring God. You've got to step past what your tiredness and distraction into a place of worship, and that's the place where one of the ways that we get filled. So I want us to close our eyes right now. Thank you, team. You've stayed with me. Good job.